Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Iowa Week. All week long, we've been focusing on Iowa, a place to grow. And we're ending the week with growing up in Iowa. If you grew up here, we want to hear from you. How do you think growing up in Iowa shaped you, good or bad? Have you made a conscious choice to raise your kids here? Why? We want to hear your thoughts and your stories this hour. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we're going to start the hour with Carol Bodensteiner, who has written a great deal about her farm childhood in Iowa. Her most recent book is Going Away Home. Hello, Carol.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today. And you grew up on a dairy farm, the middle of three sisters. Tell me a little bit about the environment you grew up in.
Yes, we were a typical small family farm in eastern Iowa, Jackson County. My folks took over the farm after Dad got out of World War II, and so we were on the farm in 1945. And I was born in 48, and so we had a typical diversified farm. We were primarily dairy, but we also had hogs and chickens and many cats and just about anything that you would expect to see on a small farm. And so I grew up working on that farm and living on that farm, working side by side with my parents.
Well, and I've read your memoir, so I know a lot about your childhood on the farm, but there are some things that really seem to stand out when you think back on the memories of growing up on the farm. And one of them is that you were a real and valuable part of the work done on the farm. On your 10th birthday, you got to carry the milk for the first time. Tell me about that and about working with your parents and your sisters.
We did work. It was really one of those things that I think about. My mom fortunately took pictures of almost everything. And one of the things that she took a picture of was me and my dad planting potatoes. And I had my little bucket of potato pieces and he was digging holes and I was putting them in. I was probably 2 years old at that time, so I don't remember this other than the picture. But it really said to me that we were working with our parents from the very beginning. And so we were included, we felt valuable. And that whole business of carrying milk, it's kind of a funny thing because when I say I got to carry milk, people say you got to carry milk.
Which was an extraordinarily difficult job.
Because this was a huge deal. It was a privilege. I looked forward to that because it sort of signaled that I was an adult and I was doing real farm work. And that was very valuable. And so that whole work ethic was really ingrained in me and us kids from the very beginning. And I still, as now 50, 60 years later, feel my greatest accomplishment on days when I've actually done something physical, whether I've canned tomatoes from our garden or even cleaned house, although I have to say I valued farm barn chores far more than I valued house chores. and that still would be the case.
Of course, working together with your family is one thing, but also it indicates the kind of closeness, the kind of time that you spent together, too. I mean, in kind of a unique way.
Yes, we were with our parents all the time, and I recognize that is something that kids today, for the most part, don't get because parents work outside the home. You know, kids are involved in school, and everybody is going their separate ways. But that closeness of family was a real treasure to me, one that I appreciated, of course, more as I was growing up. But the fact is, I didn't know any different at the time because all of our neighboring friends and family, the people in our church, we were all farm families, and this was the way families and farming was done at that time. So, yeah, that's quite a different experience, but oh, I loved it. I loved it.
And your sister kind of teased you a little bit about when you wrote your memoir about looking back, because there's a lot of nostalgia and a lot of warm, happy feelings. But she said, you know, when you start to wax rhapsodic about milking cows, you know it's been a really, really long time. So, I mean, you definitely look back through a different lens. But how do you think that childhood, how do you think those unique circumstances, which are hard to come across today anywhere, how do you think that shaped you?
Well, it definitely gave me a strong work ethic. And that is, of course, something that Iowans are known for, is a strong work ethic. And I think a lot of that comes out of that history of farm and family working together. And so I think Iowans come by this this work ethic honestly. I think we get it. And to my sister's comment about milking cows, I have to say, when I was an adult, I looked for a vacation where I might be able to go milk cows for a week. Didn't find it. But, you know, I actually did love the cows. But, yeah, I think the work ethic, I think teamwork, but also independence, because farming, you have to be able to figure it out and get it done. And frequently we did that on our own. You know, we had our individual chores and we had to go out and do them. So I think that individual nature, I think that just valuing work was something that I came away with, being productive with my hands. And knowing that I could do things, I think that was something that my parents instilled in us, was that they charged us with these tasks. We accomplished these tasks. And so knowing that I could take on something and get it done was something that I came away with.
Now, you didn't stay on the farm. You ended up raising your son in Cedar Rapids. So tell me about how you thought about trying to give him some of the important parts of your childhood experience while growing up in a city.
Yes, I did. My son and I and my husband, we lived in Cedar Rapids, and it's different in town, I have to say. You know, we work to find tasks, responsibilities for our son as he was growing up, but it's just not quite the same, because that need to the contributing to the actual economic unit is not the same when you're a kid growing up in town. But you know, he was growing up and became a teenager, was looking for a job and detasseling corn. You know, that's a typically Iowan thing for kids to do, or at least it was at the time. And I tell you, he didn't like it.
No one liked it.
but you know, and he came home. I can remember him coming home one of the first days and saying, "I don't think I can do this." I said, "Yes, you can do this." I said, "You know, you will figure out a rhythm, and you will be able to figure out." And he did over time. I mean, I didn't let him quit. I think that was one of the things that I tried to instill in him, that you take on a job and you figure out how to do it, and you take some pride, even if you don't love it. Because I said to him, you know, at least in doing this task, you're finding out what you don't want to do for a living. You know, it's you're going to make some good money, you're going to do some hard work, and maybe you don't want to do this forever, but you can take pride in the fact that you accomplished this.
So in thinking about your son's childhood in Cedar Rapids, in the city in Iowa, how do you think he was shaped by growing up in Iowa? What was unique about Iowa for him, do you think?
Well, I think some of the things that remained the same is that we had our community with our neighborhood that we lived in. So we knew the neighbors. He was playing with the kids. There was it was not as close, I would say, as the neighborhood that I grew up in on the farm. But there was also the church community, and I think the recognizing that you have community around you was one of the values, having good schools, teachers who cared about you and made sure that you were successful. I think those were shaping factors. And Iowa's education, of course, is well known and highly respected. And so the fact that we, even though Cedar Rapids was obviously much bigger than Preston, we still had some of those same nurturing community things that surrounded my son as he was growing up.
I'm talking to Carol Bodensteiner. Her most recent book is Go Away Home. And we've been talking about her childhood growing up on a farm, raising her son in Cedar Rapids. And we want to hear from you this hour. If you grew up in Iowa, tell us your story. What do you think really about growing up in Iowa shaped you? If you've chosen to raise your kids here, we want to hear your story as well. And we know that Iowa is not a paradise or utopia. So share your thoughts, good and bad, this hour. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And I'm going to get to the phones here. Jack is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Hi, what would you like to share?
Thank you for your program, Charity. I grew up and came of age in central Iowa during the 1970s. I attended college in Iowa, and 2 years after college, my wife and I left Iowa and did not return until 26 years later, having lived in both very large urban areas and small rural areas in the human services field. We returned to Iowa in 2005 with our daughter, who was at that point in the middle of her freshman year of high school. While she received a good education at the high school she attended in Des Moines, the fact remains that Iowa is a very different place than it was during my growing up, not only because of the change of times, technology, and so forth, but also because there has been a sea change in the attitude of our leaders. Education has been completely ransacked by Republican administrations and legislatures, and Iowa is no longer a good place to raise children as far as education and opportunity are concerned. And I will listen for your comments on here.
Yeah, Jack, thank you so much for sharing that. And we're actually going to go to a break here, but we'll be back in a few minutes. We'll talk more about growing up in Iowa this hour, and we do want to hear from you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about growing up in Iowa. If you grew up in Iowa, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your story and how you think growing up in this state shaped you. If you made a conscious decision to raise your kids here, why? We want to hear your thoughts, your stories. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Carol Bodensteiner is here with me now. She's written a great deal about her farm childhood in Iowa. Her most recent book is Go Away Home. And Christy Cooper is also here. She's a human sciences specialist with Iowa State University Extension in Linn County. Hello, Christy.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today. And you also grew up on a farm in Iowa, in the Spirit Lake area?
I did, Northwest Iowa, and I spent my summer jobs working at the resorts there and selling sweet corn out of the back of a pickup.
Nice. So when you think back on your childhood, I'm going to ask everybody this question. What do you think was unique about it because you lived in Iowa?
Well, I appreciate some of the things that Carol was talking about, too. I think that work ethic is really really was a big part of my growing up as well. And knowing that you had a responsibility and that your contributions were really adding to the greater good of the family and that sort of thing. I won't say how many times, but there was at least one time when I knew that the animals had to be fed before I could get my breakfast. So, you know, it was an opportunity to learn about what that responsibility meant. As well. So I appreciate that piece of it as well. And I think, too, relationships were a really big piece of it. You know, Carol made that reference to always being with parents and family. My mother worked outside of the home as well, but in addition to the responsibilities we had a huge network of neighbors and friends, and I grew up playing with cousins, and there just was a lot of, to me, it felt like there was a lot of social support, but it was also a way to teach me how you should be with people. So I think that was definitely, has definitely shaped.
That's interesting. Me. I find even living in Iowa City now, which feels like a pretty small town, to be fair, that I find that my kids have more opportunities to interact with adults and sort of practice those skills than we did when we lived in Michigan. So maybe that's one of those unique things about Iowa that even translates into the larger cities. Where did you raise your kids?
My children were born in North in Mason City, but we're in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa City area now. And so my children were raised here in this part of the state. Interestingly enough, they went to college in, both of them went to college in Iowa, but they both moved out of state after graduation. My son was in the Chicago area with his wife, and my daughter moved to Hawaii. So it was a little bit of a shock, but we were kind of excited that they were going to be able to live somewhere else. We actually encouraged that so that they could live somewhere else and see what life was like in another place. And what's kind of fun is that they came back to Iowa to raise their family. So, and I just have to put in a plug that my third grandbaby was born this week.
Oh,
so
congratulations.
I'm going to spend tomorrow snuggling with her.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. That's very exciting. Well, I want to bring up what Jack was saying, because, of course, life has changed dramatically. I mean, Carol, we were talking about your childhood, but of course life has changed since then everywhere, not just in Iowa, but, of course, all over the place. And, you know, Jack was saying, hey, it's different now than it was then, and we can't just rest on those memories. For me, this is my experience being a boomerang Iowan, where I grew up here and I moved back. Where I was living, it felt like the education system there was really broken. And so Iowa's stable education system was something that was a real draw to me. Although, you know, when I grew up, it was the common refrain that Iowa had the best education system in the nation. And that's not what you hear today.
That's correct. I guess I do believe that our education system in Iowa is not broken, but I think I do have some concerns about its future in terms of what kinds of support we need to continue to provide for so that we do continue to have a quality educational system. When I think about what it takes to raise kids in a good environment, they need to be able to have some resiliency. And that includes that strong connection between the family and the school and the community. And I'm hoping that we can continue to do some of that as well. There are a lot of initiatives happening in Iowa that really give me lots of encouragement and hope about the support that children continue to have in our state.
And of course, in a changing world, children have changing needs as well. Not every child comes from a family that has a stable home. I think so far we've been reminiscing about our very stable homes from our childhoods, and that's very, we should feel very fortunate for that. But Iowa faces the same challenges that everywhere faces as far as trying to provide a solid education for kids who are living in difficult circumstances sometimes.
Absolutely, they do. Absolutely. And some of the research that has happened across the nation includes a large national study that's called the ACE research, the ACE study, which really identifies adverse childhood experiences and the link that those experiences have to health outcomes as adults. And the Iowa data really indicates that over half of Iowans have had at least one of those adverse childhood experiences. And those ACEs, so to speak, are in 10 general categories: physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, neglect, including emotional and physical neglect, substance use, witness to violence, incarceration, mental illness, separation, and divorce. So that tells me, because over half of Iowans, adult Iowans, responded to this survey and indicated that they had at least one of those, means that maybe our memories aren't as rosy as we remember them, because we have a lot of adults who have these experiences, and they have the opportunity opportunity. It's not really a great word, but we'll likely have increased rates of some chronic illnesses. And so we do need to pay it. That's the bad news part of it. But I think the good news part of it is that there's a lot of work that's happening to make sure that we have resilient systems for our children. And that includes building in a lot of protective factors that promote resilience.
We're going to get back to the phones in just a moment. You are welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We're talking about Iowa as a place to grow up then and now. Carol Bodensteiner is with me. We've talked about her childhood on a farm in Iowa. Christy Cooper is here, human sciences specialist with Iowa State University Extension in Linn County. And we do want to hear from you. This is an email we received from someone who is anonymous, but they say, I was born and raised in Southern California. I moved to Iowa 22 years ago and had my son here. My son's father and I divorced when my son was about 6 years old, and I wanted to go back home to California, but I stayed not only because I wanted my son to grow up near his father, he and I have a great co-parenting relationship and paternal grandparents, but because I've grown to love Iowa and believed it would be a great place to raise my son. We lived in Indianola. People are often shocked since my son just left for college that I'm still here, but there's a gentleness to life here that if you grew up here, I think you don't appreciate or see. My son is now in Southern California near his maternal grandparents, and he's already talking about when I come back to Iowa. He was happy to get out of here for a little while, but I know he's already planning to come home to Iowa eventually. I love Des Moines more and more all the time. If there were only an ocean. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. I want to get to the phones as well. Patrick is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, thank you. I have the experience of 1952 when I was 10 years old, living in Davenport, but going up to my cousin's farm in Dubuque County, where for 12 days on 12 farms, we would ride teams of horse. We would ride ponies, and the guys doing the threshing, oats and straw, were driving teams of horses. And one of the farmers said to me when we were delivering water to them, and I was delivering with my cousin Pat, who lived in Dubuque County on that farm, look around, Sonny. You won't see this many teams of horses in one place for very many years. And the lesson I draw from that is that we learned, even at that kind of a job at 10 years old, that work can be fun. And that's memorialized, of course, in a Grant Wood painting showing the farmers coming in for lunch. I just think that that's one thing that I learned in Iowa and tried to teach our three daughters, raising them in Davenport.
Well, Patrick, thank you so much for sharing that memory. And Carol, I know that through your books and your writing, you must communicate with so many people who have similar memories of growing up on farms in Iowa. I mean, that's a real touchstone for people, isn't it?
It is. And I do. And I think the thing that has come through to me in talking with so many people about their growing up experiences is that my stories and getting them to tell their stories validates them. You know, I talk to people about writing down their stories because I think it's important to capture those everyday stories. But, you know, it's like they didn't feel like they had done anything with their lives. And I say that getting those meals on the table, getting the kids dressed and out to school, making sure that the family runs smoothly, or recognizing there are always problems in there, but making that happen every day—that's the thread that binds us all together. Is those everyday actions that are equally heroic as anything that anyone could do, and I think that getting those stories captured is really important. Of course, I believe in that, but it validates people to hear that the simple stories of their growing up are important stories. And I appreciate what Patrick was saying about the fact that work is fun, and because that's the way I felt about it. You know, I was having a good time. And I told people as I was in my career that, you know, if you're not having a good time doing what you're doing, you should find something else to do.
Right, which if not everyone has the luxury of doing that, but it's certainly an incredible incredible quality of life factor if you love what you do. Christy, in talking about the work ethic from the farm, we were talking about this earlier this week during Iowa Week, that although many of us are two or three generations now away from the farm, there's this sort of communal culture in our background and this culture of strong work ethic that you feel that still is part of Iowa culture, even in our cities, right?
I do believe that. I do believe that. And I think that's one of the unique pieces that Iowa has in terms of resiliency, is that there is an expectation that we all make a contribution of some sort to what's happening. I think families maybe have to be more intentional about finding purposeful work for their children, because, I had to feed the animals. Someone had to feed them. So maybe a pet in the home might be a piece of that, learning some of that responsibility. But if you don't have purposeful work that contributes directly to how you get fed and how you get places, you have to find ways to do that and be creative. But having a sense of self-efficacy and creating opportunities for children to master skills is really, really important. And that's one of those protective factors when we talk about helping children have the ability to adapt to changing circumstances. When they have that self-confidence and I love Carol said when she was talking to her son about his summer job, yes, you can do this. And she wasn't going to let him quit. And I think that still happens. I hear parents talk about that as well. I'm not going to let them quit. We're going to continue to support them. And I think that's really important.
Let's go back to the phones. Mike is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Charity, Carol, and Christy. How are you all this morning?
Great. And you have a pretty unique view of Iowa as a police officer, right?
Yes. In fact, I grew up on a farm in Dallas County through the late 70s and 80s and into the 90s. And I had a very unique childhood where, you know, we lived on a farm, and my mom was actually a program director for the Iowa Arts Council. And so I got to see a completely two sides of the page of Iowa. We had the farming, and then we had the arts and culture in our life. And I got to see the best of Iowa in those. And then I was a police officer and a deputy sheriff here in Iowa for 17 years. And so I also got to see the worst. And having seen both sides of those, I can tell you that Iowa is still the greatest place to live. And I raised my children and my stepchildren here. My wife lived in Chicago for 17 years, and she moved back here after she got divorced, and we got married actually 4 years ago today.
Oh, congratulations.
And, she grew up in Cedar Rapids, and she knew that she wanted to bring her children back here to be raised, and so we raise our family here, and we try and instill the same work ethic in our kids that we grew up with. I really liked Carol's analogy or story about, you know, I grew up too. The cattle ate before we did. That was written in stone. And you know, I grew up showing 4-H cattle, and that was always hammered into me from day one, was you don't eat until they do, because they're the ones that provide you with the food to eat. So, yeah, so that's my story. I appreciate you taking your time to listen to me.
Absolutely. And, Mike, thanks so much for sharing that. And in spite of, again, we have growing challenges here in Iowa. We have growing crime rates in Iowa. But still, relatively speaking, Iowa is one of the safest places to live. Right, Christy?
Yes, actually. If you want to look at the bigger picture, our crime rate and those sorts of things still are lower than most of the nation. But certainly there are things that we continue to want to support within our communities. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was a part of a group called the Collaboration for Resilient Iowa. And it's really a concerted effort across Iowa to identify, mitigate and heal and prevent those adverse childhood experiences I was mentioning before. And I appreciate that Mike called in with law enforcement, because law enforcement, mental health, social and human services, the medical community, education sectors, all of those folks really are working closely together to make sure that Iowa is a good place for children to grow up in. And looking at what are the ways that we can reduce traumatic experiences for children and families. And I don't know if you've seen the movie Paper Tigers or the movie Resilience. It's been screened in many, many communities across the state. But it's a way for communities really to find ways, find practices and policies, and continue some of the things that are working out really well. I appreciated the caller or the email about the gentleness of life, the gentleness to life. And I think that is a piece of Iowa that we can continue and then find more ways to build that into all of our systems so that everyone is treated with gentleness. And I mean, Iowa nice is a real thing.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about growing up in Iowa this hour. We want to hear about your experiences and your thoughts. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. With me, Christy Cooper, Human Sciences Specialist with Iowa State University Extension in Linn County, and Carol Bodensteiner. Her most recent book is Go Away Home. We'll continue in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, the culmination of Iowa Week. All week long, we've been focusing on Iowa, a place to grow. And we're focusing this hour on growing up in Iowa. We'd love to hear your memories of growing up in Iowa and how you think being an Iowan shaped you. If you've chosen to raise your kids here, we'd love to hear why and how you think Iowa is shaping your children. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we have this thought from David in Waukee. He said, the best part of growing up just outside of Osage in the 1950s was being able to be outside with my brother for hours at a time, with my mom not knowing where we were or what we were doing. We often only came back to the house when we heard the dinner bell. And of course, with me, Carol Bodensteiner, who has written about her farm childhood in Iowa. Her most recent book is Go Away Home. Christy Cooper is here, Human Sciences Specialist with Iowa State University Extension in Linn County. And I mean, Carol, I know that's one of your memories of childhood is the freedom that at least that kids in the country had, or maybe it was kids in the 1950s and 60s had, to just go outside and have that kind of independence, that time in nature. That was valuable to you, right?
It was indeed. The only rule that we had on our farm was that we couldn't go by the highway. Otherwise, we could go anywhere, and we did. We would be climbing in the rafters of the corn crib between bins of grain, which was, you know, I'm horrified when I think about it now, or we would go down in the pasture, you know. And my mom, I remember one time asking her if she remembered a certain circumstance when my sister and I had taken a wooden ladder and a sheet down to pick mulberries like a quarter of a mile away. And she said, I was looking out the kitchen window and I saw you girls going across there with that ladder. And she said, I wondered where you were going. And I think now that is something that is really quite different in Iowa and in society in general is just the ability for kids to run free wherever. But I think that was also true in towns. Because my son in Cedar Rapids in the 70s, you know, one day, because I worked outside the home, and what was he doing? He was getting on the bus and going and riding the elevators in the one building tall enough to have such a thing. So he was creating his own space, and maybe kids figure out how to do that, although I think technology now has changed quite a bit of that.
Many things have changed that, and we've spent a lot of time on this program talking about those kinds of changes in childhood, our reluctance to allow kids to be independent and to not know where they are. And of course, there are dangers involved in that. And there were certainly when we were kids as well. But I mean, Christy, I know that time spent in nature is an important part of your research, an important part of the work that you do. I mean, first of all, why is it so important from your view for kids to have the opportunity to be in green spaces and to be in touch with nature?
When children have connections to the natural world, it benefits them in so many ways. And it is foundational for their learning later, especially in the science, technology, engineering, mathematics, literacy areas as well. But it also benefits children physically. Children who spend time outdoors are actually physically physically healthier than children who do not spend time outdoors for lots of reasons. It's not just the large motor activity, but there are other reasons as well. Children also have a better sense of focus, and because they're learning observational skills, their cognitive and mental processes are facilitated that way. And it having that connection with nature also is a very strong factor in helping children regulate emotion. And that's probably one of the areas that we maybe don't think very much about. The other piece is that the research shows that when children have time and are connected to the part of the natural world, is that they grow up becoming stewards of the environment later. And so it's really critical for children to do that. I, too, grew up with lots of unsupervised, unstructured time outdoors and had plenty of time to explore and take some risks, like others have mentioned as well. But I think children these days do not have those same freedoms for lots of reasons. There are safety issues. There are actually some legal issues. There are some cultural things that are happening in our communities that the world doesn't look quite the same as it did when I grew up. And there's actually a very small percentage of youth who actually grow up on farms now compared to my generation. But what I'm excited about is the work that we're doing with outdoor classrooms. And it's a program called Nature Explore. And we're doing some, it's a collaboration with the Arbor Day Foundation and the Dimensions Educational Research Foundation. And so in Iowa, Iowa State Extension and Outreach, we train hundreds of educators every year. And these are early childhood professionals, child care providers, pre-K teachers, elementary school staff, naturalists, parks and rec folks, about how to help children establish that connection with the natural world. And so we've got certified outdoor classrooms across the state that are providing some really unique access for children to enhance their growth and development.
Well, and again, this is a challenge that we've talked about on Talk of Iowa many times in the past, is the lack of public land in Iowa. We're not a place where people come to experience the wilderness, but our lack of population, the lack of crowding, does allow us more green space, more contact with nature than maybe people who live in other places might experience, even with the decline, doesn't it?
I think you're probably right, Charity. I mean, we lived in Wisconsin after graduation from college, and so there were lots of wild spaces there. And Iowa doesn't have as many wild spaces, but certainly we have a lot of nature and opportunities. When I work with the early childhood settings, and certainly we've gone, you know, the safety is really a big issue. And many of the early childhood settings, and also when you look at traditional playgrounds, they have changed dramatically over time for lots of good reasons, safety reasons primarily. But I think there are folks who would say that we've gone becoming too sterile, so that there aren't really any real risks and challenges in that space. But I think this the efforts that we're working with Nature Explore kind of is a happy medium. It's a way to help children have some time to explore the outdoors and have that connection and experience with the natural world. And still be safe. So
we have this comment from Beth. She says, I grew up on a farm and moved when I was six, spent years feeling like something was missing. My two girls weren't sure about living in the peace and quiet, but soon longed for it. There's really nothing like it. A small taste of freedom and serenity and space. This tranquility can be its own saving grace, a place to run, swing, drive, and ponder, a beginning and ending. There's nothing quite like it. This is a comment from Kate on Facebook. She says, I grew up in Cedar Rapids, as did my ex-husband, his current wife, and my current partner. And I was always proud to say that we're not a great place to visit, but we were a great place to live. I was always aware that we lived in a safe space with smart, self-sufficient, and culturally aware neighbors. I was pleased that the big city population hadn't discovered us. She says, now I feel like they have, and we see some of the same gang violence and crime found in larger cities, but we came back here after years out of state to raise our kids because it's still safer than most places, and people of all socioeconomic backgrounds have access to high-quality education, political candidates, and theatrical and musical cultural events. We can show our kids the benefits of both city and rural life. Also, I'm always amazed that the coasts think we are deficit. We can pay a $1,000 house payment and live comfortably and maybe still have money to travel anywhere in the country or world. So she says, overall, I think the quality of life here is better and our neighborhoods are friendly. Let's get to the phone. Cindy in Anamosa has memories of a country school in Iowa. Hi, Cindy. It looks like we've lost Cindy. Let's give Crystal a chance in Dallas. Hi, Crystal.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
I would like to talk about that I grew up in Iowa. I grew up the opposite of the ladies on the panel. I grew up in Cedar Rapids and then moved rural after I turned 25. My husband and I, he grew up in Marion. I grew up in Cedar Rapids. We had our home there. We had our children there. And then we experienced the flood in 2008. We lost our home, my husband lost his job, and we were forced to become transplants into rural Iowa. So it was really different. it was very different. You can be anonymous in town. You can have your privacy. You can do one job and come home and pretty much call your life good. When you move to rural Iowa, you have to have many hats. You have to do many jobs because there might not be enough people to do all the jobs. And maybe the people who do the jobs are elderly, and so you're stepping in to take a place. So when we first moved to Dallas, I had four jobs. I worked at our family's grocery store. I worked at my son's school in the kitchen as a lunch lady. I worked at a restaurant in town as a server. And I worked at the local library as the future librarian. Lots of different hats and lots of different avenues. And it was nice to be received when we came to town. It was nice to have the community circle around us, the wagons essentially, and say, hey, we see that you guys had a really devastating thing happened to you, and we want to be here to support you. So we had some families who took us under their wing and helped us find a place to live and gave us a vehicle and helped my husband find a place to work and helped with childcare for our son. And it was wonderful to see that the place that I've lived my whole life, the state that I've lived, be so supportive when something so terrible could happen. And then it was also kind of it was really hard to handle the change of having everybody be in your business.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like in many ways, Crystal, you've experienced the best of small town Iowa. Many of the challenges, we've talked a lot about the challenges of rural poverty and the difficulty of finding meaningful employment that actually pays the bills in rural Iowa, which is a challenge for so many. So it sounds like you've experienced the best and also one of the maybe funniest parts of living in a small town where everybody knows everything about you. We had another email on that front. This one is a memory from someone who grew up in Washington, Iowa. She said, I've always remembered when someone called my mom to tell her that she had seen me and a friend barefoot at the JCPenney store. Many, many years later, after I'd moved back, someone called to tell mom that I had been at Murphy's Bar and Grill in Riverside. I laughed and laughed. So, yes, there is that kind of knowledge and awareness of everything you do. I mean, Carol, I'm sure that was a big part of your childhood. Everybody had an eye on you, didn't they?
Well, yes, the community is yes, they did, in fact. You know, so I always looked at the other adult members of our small country church as being like just so many more mothers and fathers. You know, they all felt totally comfortable with telling me when I was out of line,
right,
or encouraging me to behave behave in another way. But I think that whole business of community is just really important and remains important in Iowa. I'm on the board of Oak Ridge Neighborhood, which is a low-income housing community in Des Moines. 1,000 people live there. More than half of them are refugees. And so the importance of community is huge in terms of helping people assimilate to a new environment, to make sure that the kids are in school and being successful in school. And so neighborhoods like that exist and are critically important to our future success, because as I look at the changes in Iowa, you know, you can always say, okay, this is good or this is bad. It's really not either one. It simply is. Right. And we have an opportunity to do something with that. And the diversity that that brings to our state, I think, is wonderful. Because we live in a world. It's not like it was when I was growing up on the farm, where our 6-mile radius was all there was in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, with the technology and with the travel and so on, with all of the media, we live in the world. So Iowa has an opportunity to help our kids be productive members of that world society. And so the diversity that we see, the education that we have, the family, the community, all of that, I think is just critically important. And I recognize there are challenges, but I think for the most part, I was delivering that. And my grandchildren go to school here in Des Moines, and I think they're really getting a good education. I'm very, very pleased with what's happening with them in the public schools. So
Well, we have just a couple of minutes left. I do want to get another caller into the conversation here. Drew is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Drew.
Hi.
Hi, and you moved back to Iowa purposefully. What brought you back?
I did. I grew up in Des Moines and in the 80s and 90s and left when I joined the military. And then at 32 years of age, came out as a part of the LGBT community. I was living in the South, and I knew right away that I needed to move back to Iowa with my children. Just for some of the protections that are offered under the laws here that aren't extended in other states to LGBT people.
So that kind of atmosphere, that kind of environment felt like a good place to live, possibly maybe eventually raise kids as well, Drew?
Right, and I have children, moved back for that reason. I was living in a state that didn't have legal protection for LGBT people, so we moved back to Iowa. For us to have that protection, but also it just seems like a more tolerant environment for our children to have parents who are like that. So,
well, Drew, thank you so much for sharing that as well. And we are out of time today. Thank you so much to everybody who joined our conversation. And Christy, I'm going to give you the final word here. I mean, we've talked about what is unique about childhood in Iowa, definitely in the past. Just a thought on what still makes it unique to raise kids in Iowa. What do you think is special about raising kids here?
I think we continue to have lots of great opportunities. I think there's a lot of support in early childhood, and so I think those experiences for our young children across the state are still strong and good. We continue to support quality childcare and continue to work with schools and communities and making sure people have connections so that our kiddos don't fall through the cracks. And I think because of that intention that's happening across the state in many different sectors, I think we're still a really good place to raise our kids and our grandkids.
Christy Cooper, thank you so much. Christy Cooper, Human Sciences Specialist with Iowa State University Extension in Linn County. And Carol Bodensteiner, thank you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, Charity.
Carol Bodensteiner has written about her farm childhood in Iowa. Her most recent book is Go Away Home. And this has been Iowa Week on Talk of Iowa. All week long, you can listen back to our shows at iowapublicradio.org. Thank you so much. I'm Charity Nebbie.